What is it like being the editor-in-chief for SEO and digital marketing news, knowing that it's changing hourly? And then you have to deal with the likes of us. We're talking to Carolyn Lydon today on The Edge. Go!
Your weekly digital marketing trends with industry trend-setting guests. Powered by your digital marketing pioneers, Site Strategics. This week's featured guest is Carolyn Lydon, Director of Search Content for Search Engine Land and SMX. Now, here's your host, Aaron Sparks.
Welcome to The Edge. Hey, I'm your host, Aaron Sparks. Every week we bring you amazing guests to chat with about digital marketing news and trending topics. We unpack key marketing topics for our digital marketing audience. Whether you're a freelancer or part of an agency or part of a marketing department inside of your firm, this show is for you. So you want to check out everything over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. The Edge of the Web is actually brought to you by Site Strategics, the title sponsor of our show. We're the pioneers in the agile digital marketing methodology. Our core specialties are technical SEO, SEM, social media marketing and management, conversion rate optimization, omni-channel marketing and broadcast, and part of which you're listening or are watching here today, as well as we focus on core web vitals. If that's beleaguering you right now, give us a shout over at 877-736-4932, or if you want me to invert this into alphanumeric, it's 877-SEO-4-WEB. Nobody's ever asked me to actually do that. What does that actually spell, Sparks? Anyway, I want to go over some housekeeping notes for you. I just want to let you know who's going to be coming up on the show and when. Roger Monty is going to be coming up next couple of weeks, as well as Mark Traphagen. Be sure to check out the recent shows we had with Ashley Segura, as well as our 404 show. Check that out. We had a great 404th episode where we had a competition for the best 404s on the planet and had a great time doing that with a lot of really cool judges and a lot of great participation. If you're interested in being part of the show, just let us know. Drop us a line over at info@edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. Set your reminders on YouTube whenever we drop a video. We cut it up and slicing up into small bite-sized pieces for your digital marketing consumption. It's like digital sushi. That's what it is. All right. So make sure you check out our weekly news podcast covering all the recent digital marketing news and Google updates. We're dropping it every Tuesday with the indomitable Morty Oberstein. And you never know what he's going to say. And we caution listeners, because he can make you quite uncomfortable at times. You can check out this last week's episode. That's all I'm going to say. But make sure that you dial in there, because we're also bringing some great information from news organizations such as Search Engine Land. And I say that with a gratuitous plug here, because let's meet this week's industry expert. Carolyn Lydon is the director of search content over at Third Door Media. She most recently ran her own agency, Search Hermit, where she specifically set out to help women and BIPOC-owned businesses improve their presence and performance in search. Carolyn's extremely knowledgeable across all verticals in search marketing, with particular expertise in content marketing strategy, local search marketing, and analytics. She's also a well-known figure in the search community through her experiences speaking in various search conferences, and is a leader of the popular hashtag SEO chat on Twitter. All right, that's Caroline, and that's the official bio. Carolyn, welcome to the show today. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
More than welcome. It's an honor. We're excited to dig in to what you're doing over at Third Door Media. But first and foremost, give us your background, your history, and SEO in your own words.
Yeah, so I started search probably, I got into search via writing. So my mom and grandma and aunts owned a family-owned business. And when I was a kid, I participated in the family business on the weekends. I would stuff envelopes and I showed my grandparents how to use Microsoft Word and things like that. And that sort of got me into understanding the processes behind marketing. So after that, when I went to college, I studied writing and wanted to sort of put them together. So my first job out of college was like a writing assistant. I wrote social media, I wrote blogs, I wrote anything that had words. And in that, I realized that if I wanted people to see what I was writing for my clients, I really needed to learn the SEO side of things. Sure. I didn't know it was called SEO at the time, but one of the agencies I worked at, my the CEO of the company, my boss, said, oh, if you're really interested in the numbers behind what you're writing, let me show you how Google Analytics works. And that was sort of my first foray into the industry. And it sort of just continued to grow from there. So that's one reason I come at it from like a content marketing sort of perspective.
Sure.
My background is really in writing. And I worked as a writer in a bunch of different industries. People always think this is funny, but I've worked in financial. I've worked with pediatric dentists. I work with plastic surgeons. I've worked in funeral homes. I've written content for all of those industries. And eventually I built up my SEO chops to where I was leading SEO departments at agencies and then later helping brands in-house sort of build SEO from the ground up. So they knew they needed it. But they didn't really know how to get started. And from there, I started my own company. I wanted to see how I could help expand my reach. And then, like you said, help women and BIPOC owned businesses achieve that visibility that they often don't get, especially in startups. So when I was helping with in startups and tech, I worked in SaaS as well. I saw that a lot of times the people getting venture capital were white guys. And that means that women and BIPOC owned businesses, along with not getting the money, were not getting the connections and resources they needed, especially on the marketing side. So I wanted to sort of be that person who helps them achieve visibility. And from there, I saw an opening for Search Engine Land, which is one of my go-to resources for search news, what's happening, and also how-to guides and things like that. And so I was like, this seems like the perfect crux of everything that I love and everything that I'm good at. And they, I guess they agreed because they hired me.
Well, congratulations on that. That's a heck of an achievement. And I just want to go back to that moment that you saw Google Analytics. That is that watershed moment. It's almost like the curtains drawn away, or you see the, you know, the guy behind the curtain and the Wizard of Oz. All of a sudden, you're seeing how things are actually measured and performing. And it's a whole nother world to you. And kudos for you to actually steer with the rudder towards being able to open up opportunities for women and be able to guide your ship this way. Because a lot of times that sometimes gets a side gig compared to just trying to run your own career. You're actually championing some great causes as you got to be the editor-in-chief. So we're going to talk about that here in a bit, but I did want to start to unpack with Search Engine Land and Third Door Media. We have a truly symbiotic relationship with Third Door. I think I've been reporting articles from Search Engine Land, I think we've been doing it the entire time, almost a decade. We're reporting on what you're reporting on. So it's a constant treasure trove of great contributors and great editors. And so you've got a fantastic legacy in this space. Tell me what it's like jumping into the editor-in-chief role there. This was new terrain, just like as if you were looking at Google Analytics the first time. This is a whole nother ball of wax, right?
Yeah, totally. Especially because I don't come from an extensive journalistic background. I had an NPR internship when I was in college, which was in radio. But oh, cool. Other than that, my experience has really been in content for SEO and content for the web. So it's definitely been an interesting transition, especially just learning what's important, even just things like style guides. And these are the things we report on. And these are the things that are worth deep diving into and sources and things like that. All things that I guess we all know about, but the day-to-day and the minutiae behind it is also very different. And it's also interesting, which I think is a common thing among lots of people, either in agencies or even in if you're in-house, is coming from an SEO perspective versus coming from, you know, a developer perspective or a writer's perspective who isn't in SEO or any other stakeholder. Mm-hmm. It was sort of the same sort of thing. So I'm coming into this publication from the perspective of an SEO content writer, which means I have different things that I think are important than maybe journalists would. Their perspectives are different. So that's been interesting. And it's also another layer on top of that is we're a search publication. So thinking about satisfying both the journalistic side of things, the newsworthy side of things, making sure we've got great coverage and we've, you know, like AP style and things like that, but also coming, making sure that the things that we're producing are also SEO friendly, and what does that mean for news and things like that. So it's been a different perspective on SEO, and I'm actually really enjoying learning throughout the process and also sharing my expertise from my perspective as well.
Yeah, BB Tua is, what's it like coming into that organization as a marketer, as a content writer? So I think you're in a unique position to actually kind of champion what we as agency owners and marketers really want to know. But it is really interesting because you're manning the craft in so many different ways. You have a content strategy that you have to roll out to be able to get ranked for your own content. And I can only assume that that you have to be bulletproof when it comes down to rolling out a page of content, because it's under the scrutiny of SEOs love search engine land, but I could only imagine that they try to plink or chink at the armor sometimes, going, "Well, hey, you didn't do this correctly," or "Hey, you didn't orient your schema this way." I mean, I can only imagine. Oh, yeah. There's a little bit of nipping at the heels inside this industry. Your search publication, it has to happen there, right? Is that there's this constant small noise in the ecosystem, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We had someone message us to let us know that one of our site links, the capitalization was incorrect. And I was like, well, Wow. If that's the worst thing that we've committed, then that's fine with me. But and I think it's sort of going back to what I was saying before, it's also trying to make sure that the other voices within the organization are also, they also feel heard. So like, just as you would if you worked agency side with clients, or right, if you worked in-house at a brand, making sure those stakeholders also have their opinions and points of view, you know, understood from the SEO perspective, and then SEO gives their perspective on things too. So it's always something to manage. And one thing I love about Third Door Media is everyone is excited to learn. Not everyone comes from an SEO point of view. There are people who work on the events team. There are people who work on the technical team. Right. And so just as within any organization, you're making the case, you're explaining, you're teaching. And I think that's really the fun part of it. It makes it easier too to work with great people who enjoy learning about it and will listen to me blather on about it forever.
Yeah, it is a different beast as opposed to any other marketing or any other publication. You're constantly moving content, and it's really impressive to be able to see your weekly thoroughfare as well as your daily content. And we highly recommend anybody jumping on and subscribing to the newsletter. But you have a very important role in our industry. I mean, there's moving ground regularly in SEO, and it's got to be difficult to navigate the waters, seeing that you need to establish your leadership on platforms like Search Engine Land, Marketing Land, MarTech Today, and you have a central role inside of SMX, as I understand, right?
Yeah, so along with being the director of content for Search Engine Land, I'm also the director of content for SMX. Mm-hmm. So really, I work with our events team and our programming team to think about like what really matters based on what we're covering and what we're hearing in the search communities. What really matters to search marketers? What things do they want to learn about? What things do they not really care that much about? Sure. And then using that information to sort of hone and shape the SMX events. So also we switched obviously to this virtual model where we're trying to hone in on really specific topics. So right, we had SMX Report, which was all about analytics and reporting. And then we're about to have in the middle of April, SMX Create, which is really diving into the creative side of things, which also gives as the sort of content planner, it gives me an opportunity to really dig into these topics too and see what's going on out there. What are people saying? What are people speaking about that it's really resonating with the search community? And how can we make sure that we're providing coverage not only on the site, but also at these events so that people who are hungry to learn these things get the content and the information they need? That's honestly, events are when I was an SEO, I'm still an SEO, but when I attended search conferences for jobs I was in agencies or in-house, that was one of the most fun things, I think, was when you go, you attend a session, and even if you just get like one nugget where you're like, this is something I'm going to go home and immediately start as soon as I get back into the office. Like, I'm going to try this project, or I'm going to implement this strategy. Stuff like that makes, I think, events worth it for me to attend. And so trying to find that for others so that they can have those joyous aha moments where you're like, I am going to nail this. This is going to be so great. That's fun for me too.
Absolutely. And we all understand the challenge that Thirdo went through with 2020 and COVID. You guys got hit with conference cancellations across the board, as did so much of the world, right? So yeah. Everything was up in upheaval. And you guys did the incredible rebound and got a great deal of new online summits. I'll get to that here quickly. But my one key question is, with the content that you're actually moving through on a regular basis inside of these different properties, how do you actually pick the topics? What is the process of the selection? Because like you're saying, you're learning so much inside of the publication process. What is the process of deciding what to go after and what not to go after? Is that the secret sauce?
Yeah, I think it's probably not as complicated or, you know, in depth as people maybe want to think it is. Mm-hmm. I think the search community is really important to us. So, you know, people who participate in SEO chat and PPC chat and people who come to these events that we're planning and putting on, they're really, I mean, they're what keeps us running. So seeing what's important to them, what's causing chatter, yep. What's making them mad, what are their sticking points? What are things that they are like, oh man, this worked so well. Everyone needs to try this. So seeing what's important to our community and making sure that we're providing the type of content that helps serve that curiosity and that insatiable desire to continue to learn and do more. I think that's what gets people into search marketing, into SEO and PPC.
Absolutely.
It's evolving. We constantly have to problem solve. It's fun. When you have those successes, you're like, oh man, I did it. And when things don't go your way, it's a problem to work on and figure out. And I think making sure that we're providing that type of content to people is super critical. And then, of course, we want to cover the big newsworthy things that happen that really affect that audience. So if you notice on the majority of our features and newsworthy pieces, we try to include why it matters to marketers. So why do marketers care? And to give you really the 3 to 10 lines about how this affects your job, how this affects your day-to-day, and what it means for you, what you may have to shift or look out for or, you know, keep in mind as these changes happen. So if changes are happening, like I think the most recent one I was thinking of was Microsoft released their automotive ads. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to John Lee at Microsoft to get some background on it. And he was telling me that previously they weren't able, PPC marketers weren't able to use feeds. And it's literally what they use for every other ad type. And so he's like, this is a huge game changer for them. And I was like, that people want to know that, especially in the automotive industry. They're like, my job just went from super complicated to pie, like easy as pie. It's cake now. I can do this immediately. And thinking about things like that and how what the big tech companies and brands and even tools and agencies and partners and things like that, what they're putting out that really affects marketers is really like the baseline for what we're looking at. So sometimes there are things that, like you were saying, are not, we decide, okay, does this have a big effect on marketers? And it's a hard call sometimes too. Like if you're thinking about, for example, Google's Supreme Court case with Oracle, like does this affect marketers? On the surface, maybe it looks like no, but if we look deeper down, this does affect how, you know, MarTech works and things like that. So really trying to dig in and understand how it affects our target audiences, so search marketers in our community, and will they want to learn more about this topic or this content?
Right. No. And it's a great segue that you gave me there, because I was going to ask you this next question about unpacking some content that is possibly challenging to big tech, most especially Google. Google's been hammered with lawsuits and antitrust. There's certainly much discussion, and different camps have different perspectives on privacy laws and especially the new cohort tracking. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But this is our livelihood as marketers, and we don't want to upset the apple cart in our environment. But if there's something worth scrutiny, is there a process that you follow before landing on the scene with a big story that could be a bit challenging to some key players that we usually talk to, like Danny Sullivan, like John Mueller? If there's something that's not smelling right, right, in the world of Google, we talk about it on the show. You guys talk about it regularly. I mean, George Wynn came out with, I think a couple articles just recently, especially some of the Australia stuff, that just it didn't really ring quite true of why Google would be doing that. So you're constantly seeing, and you've got a number of sources providing you information. What's your process on deciding, all right, yeah, we gotta jump in here and call it for what it is?
Yeah, so it sort of goes back to the why it matters to marketers. And sure, we try to think about, like in the case of Google and Australia, yeah, and their news showcase, and then how it's working for in a bunch of different countries now.
Yeah, yeah.
But just thinking about, does it matter for marketers? And if we have marketers in those individual locations, for example, or in those audiences, like, mm-hmm, how are they going to have to shift? How are they going to have to adjust? And I don't want to say like speaking truth to power, but I like to think, and Henry, who's in charge of content, has really emphasized that editorial is editorial and we're separate. So if it's going to affect marketers negatively, mm-hmm, then it's something that we need to report on. It's something that we need to make marketers aware of. It's something that we need to make sure that we're advocating for marketers in these specific areas. So even if it's,
right,
you know, bad news, or even if it's good news, sometimes people think, oh, like you're being really hard on Google. And then people on the opposite camp will be like, you're just Google lovers. We're just trying to present the information and then interpret how it will work for marketers to have to make adjustments or make their lives easier. So that's generally how we have decided to approach it and think about what really matters to that audience. And if it's minutia that doesn't affect them on their day-to-day or even quarterly or annually, then we can focus on things that actually helps them and moves the needle for them.
And that's a good North Star to play towards, because you can never please everybody, right? you're not presenting opinion, you're presenting why it matters. Whatever is actually happening, you're advocating the marketer. That's your space, and we certainly applaud that. As a side note, what are your thoughts about kind of the dominion of Google in search? Do you think there ever will be a sizable second player in search?
I mean, we actually have this conversation frequently because the news maybe a couple months ago about DuckDuckGo,
right,
finally upping their market share. And then of course, people are regularly creating new search engines. So I think Neva is an example of one that an ex-Googler has created. It's a paid search engine. And the idea is that you pay a subscription to not receive ads. And the way the landscape exists right now, it seems like, and especially based on feedback. So we have the newsletter, and I'll ask people like, tell me what you think about XYZ. I put in a little personality and flair sometimes, and people will actually email me back and give me feedback. And I think it was around the DuckDuckGo one I asked people, and a lot of people said that, I've tried DuckDuckGo, I've tried Bing, and it's good for certain specific scenarios,
right,
but the targeting and the relevant results that I get from Google are just higher quality right now.
Absolutely.
And so
absolutely,
I think unless somebody gets to that level, then it's still going to be the largest market player in terms of search engines. And there was a study that came out, I don't know if it was a study or research or just random data that they surveyed people, but essentially it was around privacy. A lot of consumers really want privacy with their data, but they also want targeted ads. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one reason people continue to use Google, is because it still presents the most relevant results for them, even in terms of ads and, you know, like remarketing and things like that. So,
and it's also turning into an incredible utility. There's so much functionality on Google now, and we'll talk about zero click here a little while, but literally there's such function now there and it's accurate and it's relevant and it's personalized. Google, Google wants you to use that as your companion or whatever we want to call it. Google wants you in their space regularly, and they're doing a heck of a lot of functionality to provide you that. So there's so far leaps and bounds ahead. It's going to be very difficult to see any large domination of, you know, secondary search, but you probably could start seeing a lot of these fractionalized searches like you're talking about. It's all the personal preference of privacy and personal preference of functionality. Yeah, that's a great tool shed, but I'll search over here where I'm not tracked on every click, right?
Right, yeah. And I think Detlef Johnson, who he's our SEO for developers, he crosses over the really technical developer stuff and then helps explain it on the SEO side. We were having a conversation about it, and he was saying it's important to remember that Google is a tech company first. So they have all this technology to stay at the top of the market share for search engines. So like you were, to your point, they have all the technology, the algorithms, and the machine learning and AI to read people's minds. Like when people are like, oh, I just said this and now it knows that I'm getting an ad for it. I'm like, no, they're just really great targeting.
That's absolutely true. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. Let's stop along the way here regarding your relationship with the SEO community. There's a great community of contributors into this space who are teachers and educators as well. They want to be able to help share information. That certainly is what Search Engine Land is doing. And on top of that, what you're doing there at the editor-in-chief role there. So what do you feel is your obligation to the SEO community, our audience?
Yeah, so I feel like you were saying, a lot of people in search, we get into it because we like solving problems, but then to your point, we love to teach and we love to share what's working. And I think both in my capacity in Search Engine Land and even just I'm a member of the community as well. I learn from people there on a daily basis too. So I want to be able to make sure that things I'm learning along the way, I'm also contributing back, and that the things we're writing about also reflect how the community is evolving and how we're continuing to learn and how we're sort of adjusting as these changes come our way from Google, Microsoft, and the other search engines that we're potentially using and optimizing for. And I think that, I really love the SEO community. I feel like if I can go with a problem or a question, I can go on Twitter. Yep. I can ask my friends who've created Slack channels with me to help answer questions, and or I can email people and I can say, I have a question about this, or here's my particular situation. Like, do you have recommendations?
Sure.
And everybody is so willing to share and say, oh, try this, or here's how I fix this somewhere else. Nobody is like, I'm going to have the competitive advantage here, which maybe exists in other industries. We don't share as much, but that's one thing I really love about the SEO and PPC communities, which I think is really reflected in like SEO chat and PPC chat, people sharing what's worked and what hasn't for them. And so I want to make sure that we are reflecting that too on Search Engine Land, because we want to serve the community, but also the members of Search Engine Land are part of that community. So like Barry and George, we're all part of it as well.
Yep. No, absolutely. So that's laudable. It's a great place to actually finish up this. We certainly want to recognize the conference changes that you've done this year and certainly incredible challenges from last year. So for the events that are coming up, you've got a number of SMX conferences. 2021 looks pretty good here. You've got SMX Create. If you want to throw that up on screen, that'd be great, Jacob. SMX Create, April 16th. SMX Paris, June 8th and 9th. SMX Advance, June 15th and 16th. And SMX Advance Europe, June 21st and 22nd. SMX Convert, August 17th. SMX Next, November 9th and 10th. And SMX Code, December 14th. There's more conferences this year than you've had in years past, Carolyn. So you're doubling down on a lot of great content. What do you expect from the SEO community? How can we help these events prosper and just flourish as you're navigating the COVID waters right now? We all are dying to get back to the SMX conferences. It's not only what you learn, it's about who you hang out with, who you'll have a drink with, where to get in trouble with, who's got your back. It's a fantastic community. What can we do for Third Door and SMX to be able to help them out?
Yeah. So one way we've adjusted is try to, like you were showing, have these sort of learning journey conferences where we really focus in on one specific topic or subtopic within SEO. And so we're always looking for speakers who have expertise in those topics, feedback on events that you have attended. So if you are coming to SMX Create, or if you've attended like report that we had that focused on analytics, providing feedback for those so we can continue to make those better. As you said, this is the first year that we've really doubled down on virtual events. Mm-hmm. And I do miss in-person events as well, but safety first. So trying to, I guess, provide feedback. Also, as always, we love attendees to come and tell us what, you know, what they're thinking about events that are sessions that we have, mm-hmm. topics that we're choosing as, like, this is what we think is important based on the feedback we've gotten from the community on Twitter. So there's lots of different ways, I think, to participate. You can attend events. You can apply to be a speaker at events. We have pitch forms open for upcoming events. And even just reaching out and saying, like, oh, I've been thinking about creating a session about this. What do you think about it? Mm-hmm. I'm happy to chat with people about that as well, too. Fantastic. And that's really how I've been... like, we have people pitch events, and then every once in a while we're like, we know someone who's like the expert in this. We're going to ask them to come. So making more visibility for newer speakers too in those areas is important.
That's great. Well, we would certainly like to put a personal challenge out to our audience, the SEO community. You got to lift up Third Door. You got to lift up the SMX conferences. They're doing this for us, and they're having to navigate these waters, guys. So take a moment, break your regular at-home remote work routine, and carve out that half day. Carve out that day to be able to learn. I mean, it was great whenever we could fly out there and have a good 3 or 4 days away from work, right? Work's always around us nowadays. So we got to carve out that time, and it's not too much ask to be able to break away and be able to contribute into these events, because they are truly important for our culture, for our community, for the success of the industry. So you're doing a fantastic job, Carolyn. Thank you so much for guiding us there. And if there's anything that we can do for you, you let us know, okay?
Cool. Thanks.
Make sure that you listen to the second part of the Carolyn Lydon interview by visiting edgeofthewebradio.com. Follow Carolyn on Twitter at Carolyn Lydon, L-Y-D-E-N, and follow us on Twitter, Edge Web Radio. If you can't wait, we have the entire video on our YouTube channel. Just search Edge of the Web. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this podcast with others, because remember, sharing is caring. Remember to stay safe, stay well, and do not be a people cyber drifter. We'll talk to you next week.